Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Good Sunday. I am Rashini, and this is the first Sunday of 2021. Dr. Hilden, Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year, Rashini, and Happy New Year to everybody who's listening today. Hope your year's off to a great start.
Yeah, and we have a lot to get into today because you have gifted listeners open lines on this first Sunday of the year so they can really ask you anything they want.
Absolutely. We're looking for whatever's on your mind. We'll take whatever questions you have. Might be about COVID, might be about something else, but whatever you have, we'll give it our best shot. I do want to just give everybody who's listening today a huge thank you from me and from my 7,000 colleagues at Hennepin Healthcare, because today, not only being the first Sunday of a new year, is the first Sunday, the first show of a new year broadcasting for us. This is our first show of our 13th year on the air. We have just completed 12 years. So I think that puts us at about the 625th hour of Healthy Matters. And you know what? We wouldn't be doing this if there weren't folks on the other end listening. And so to all of you, a great big thank you.
Well, I am just honored to be with you on this milestone show. And when you think about it, because I feel like Healthy Matters has just been there forever, it is nice to take that moment to celebrate where you started, where you're going. And, let's give people a little teaser for the year, Dr. Hilden, because we have some wonderful, interesting topics on the shows when you do have guests and we focus on one topic. And we really love it when we hear from people about what they want us to cover, right?
Absolutely, Rashini. Well, the way we do this is that there's a few ways we plan shows. We do the open line shows because they're really popular for people to answer their questions. And so we do those a couple times a month. And then we have guests on most of the other shows. Like, for instance, next week, we're going to talk about colorectal disease, mostly cancer and other conditions of your intestines, which doesn't sound like a great topic for a Sunday morning, but it is so common. People are thinking, oh, geez, what am I going to talk about on a Sunday morning? We're going to talk about intestinal diseases with a colleague of mine, Dr. Jake Matlock. There's very few places that you can get in-depth conversation about and information from a local source that you trust. And so we're going to do that next week. The other thing that we're doing is we're taking your ideas for show topics. So there's two ways you can tell us what your ideas are. What do you want to hear us talk about? The first is to tweet me. That's easy. It's Dr. David Hilden. If you want to put the hashtag Healthy Matters, I'll make sure to get it. But you can also just tweet it to me at Dr. David Hilden. And you can message me on my Twitter account, and I'll check those out, and we'll put them on the on the docket for future show topics, just leave me a few words, just a couple, three words about what you'd like to talk about. The other way is to leave me a comment on the blog, which is myhealthymatters.org. You just put the word my in front of it, myhealthymatters.org. Two ways to get in touch with me. I encourage you to follow me on Twitter. DR stands for doctor. At least I think it is, because it's also my initials. DR David Hilden on Twitter. That's probably the best way for you to follow us and follow all the shows that we're going to be doing in 2021.
Yeah, absolutely. And then also on Twitter at Rashini R, I regularly am tweeting about Healthy Matters also. So there are a couple different ways, many different ways, actually, you can get in touch with Dr. Hilden and with me. And I'm happy to pass those messages along, because we regularly talk about, well, what would be really interesting? What do listeners want to hear about? And one of the things that I'm curious about this year is talking about bone health, and not just when we're thinking of osteoporosis, but as someone who's a runner, and you had an injury in 2020 yourself, and you were off the roads because of that, and all different ages, from kids into, you know, people in their 80s and 90s, everyone needs to worry about bone health, and I'm looking forward to getting into that extensively with you in 2021, Doctor. I do want to remind people that the phone and text lines are open. We already have literally tons. I mean, that's my my scientific word for how many.
That is a good scientific word, Tim. We have tons of texts.
We have tons of texts.
We weighed them.
We do. They're very heavy. And speaking of that, I will do my best to get to these texts. But if you for sure want your question asked and hopefully then answered by Dr. Hilden, I recommend you call us, 651-989-9226. We do already have some callers waiting. So why don't we take a quick break now, and then we will be back with Dr. Hilden, Healthy Matters, your calls and texts, 651-989-9226.
A happy man, but the way I feel right now, it's gonna be a
funky new year. We are back on this first Sunday of 2021. Rashini Rajkumar with you, along with your host of Healthy Matters, Dr. David Hilden, and the phone lines are open, 651-989-9226. So I recommend all our callers, because the lines are full, if you can keep your questions really brief, that is going to help us. Let's start with Judy in Stillwater. Hi there, Judy.
Yeah, hi. I have a question that has intrigued me since the virus started, and that is, I understand that the virus takes hold in the nasal passages and multiplies, and so then I thought, why wouldn't a barrier like Vaseline, why wouldn't that be helpful, or would that be helpful when you went out in public?
Hey, Judy. I hadn't thought of that. Your initial assumption is correct, though. The virus sets up shop initially in the mucosa, or the lining of your nasal passages. And from there, it works its way down to your lungs and all over your body, but mostly to your lungs. I haven't thought of that, but it is, theoretically, it is intriguing. I don't know if others have been studying that, but some kind of barrier in the nose, at least theoretically, could work. It is also possible they could make it worse, though, because the virus seems to like that surface of your nasal passages, which are wet, basically. And so I don't know if that would work or not. I'm going to leave it at that. I don't know. But it is, I'm going to agree with you. It is an intriguing possibility. I don't know if anyone's studying that, because the issue is people, they study things for which there is a payoff, either a huge public health payoff or a financial payoff, and I'm not sure that anyone is studying that, because of they're not sure what the end goal would be. But I agree with you. Intriguing question.
Yeah, it's wonderful, the great questions that come in from our listeners. All right, let us go to Jim in New Brighton. Good morning, Jim.
New Year. I've got three quick questions about COVID-19. The first one is about groceries. Now, should a packaged grocery, should we still be spraying them down like bread and cereal boxes with antiviral solution? And the second one is about mail. Should you leave your mail sit for 2 or 3 days yet before you open it? And the third is about this vaccine. I hear Minnesota's got 300,000 doses, but they've only got 60,000. Given out. What's the hold up on that? And I'll just hang up and listen.
Thanks, Jim. As for the first two, the answer is probably not. You don't need to spray down your groceries. You don't need to leave your mail sitting around. Now, it is true that the virus can live on surfaces. And so, theoretically, especially at the beginning of the pandemic, we were telling people to do that because we just didn't know. But it now appears that that is a far lesser risk than other modes of transmission. So if you want to be the super safest you possibly can be, I guess you could still do those things like leaving your mail sitting, wiping down your groceries. But I no longer do that. What I do is I wash my hands a lot. And so after handling things, I just suggest you wash your hands. As for the vaccine, the reporting of how many doses have been given lags a lot. I remember just about 2 weeks ago, they were reporting that we had given 2,000 vaccines in the entire state of Minnesota, and I knew for a fact that we had given 2,000 vaccines at my own hospital, just one hospital. So I think that the reporting might just lag. That being said, it's pretty slow. The release of this has been a little slow, but I'm confident that that will speed up as we get all of the wheels greased, if you will, and our logistics all get up to speed. I think it's going to pick up quite a bit. But I share your question about why has it been so slow at the beginning. I think we're just ramping it up.
All right. Let's go to Joan in Mankato. Good morning, Joan.
Morning. How are you?
Good. Go ahead with your question.
All right. I had a severe flu, what I thought was the flu. Anyway, last January, I was hospitalized with pneumonia overnight. I tested negative for A and B, and what came up was unknown virus. Is it possible to have the antibodies after a year if I would get tested?
It is possible, but we just don't know. What you had last January was likely some other variant of a respiratory virus. It probably wasn't COVID, although it could have been. We test for dozens of viruses every year in our respiratory swabs. We even test for types of coronavirus. We've been testing for those for years. And the current COVID is a variant of a coronavirus. So there are just a slew of viruses they tested for. Some of them we don't even test for. So I'm not sure what you had. But it is possible that you have some antibodies from a viral infection a year ago. But I wouldn't count on that at all. I would just assume you don't. Because there's no benefit to assuming that you have any antibodies from a year ago. I would just take all the precautions you can with masking, social distancing, and washing your hands.
All right, let's go to Ken in Blaine. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning. I guess I have a follow-up question on the gentleman that called about the fact that we seem to be holding the vaccines without getting them into arms. I mean, I've heard that at the rate we're doing nationally, it's going to be several years before we get to herd immunity because they're just not getting vaccinated enough people. And that's a concern, of course. And the second question I have is the variant testing. I've heard or read that many countries are doing variant testing and they're doing quite a bit of it. The United States is at less than 1%. And does Hennepin Health do variant testing? And if you don't, why not?
Thanks, Ken. As for your first question, indeed, if we were vaccinating people at the rate we are this week, it's going to be years before we reach herd immunity. But to repeat what I said earlier, we are just ramping it up. It'll be much faster in the coming months. The thing that's going to delay the end of this pandemic is probably not the logistics of the vaccine. It's how willing people are to get it. If half the population chooses not to get the vaccines, then we're looking at a coronavirus pandemic for years. That's just the fact. If we need 70 to 80% of the population to have their vaccine, once 70 to 80%, that's the current estimates at least, once that many have their vaccine, then we'll be back to some semblance of normal. So I think that the logistics people will get it ramped up in the coming months. It's how willing people are. So if I could just tell folks, if you want this pandemic to end, social distance, wear your mask, and get your vaccine. Those are the things that'll cause it to end. As for your other question, the United States at a federal level opted not to do much variant testing for a number of reasons. It initially thought this thing didn't mutate very much, at least initially, but all viruses mutate constantly. And so it is not unexpected that the coronavirus has a mutation that makes it, it's Darwinism. It's survival of the fittest. The virus is fighting back against us. And so that variant is likely highly transmissible, more transmissible, but not more deadly. But it is of some concern. We don't do variant testing at my hospital. I don't know who does. It's more of a specialty kind of a thing. So I don't know where that's being done. That's to answer your second question.
All right, Dr. Hilden, I want to do two quick things before we have to go to break in under 2 minutes here. First, can you define herd immunity again? Because you've talked about it. I think people get very confused by this term.
Yeah, herd immunity is when enough people in the population have had a virus or have been vaccinated against a virus. And therefore, because so many people aren't susceptible to getting it, the virus fizzles out. To my knowledge, there has not been a disease in the world that goes away due to natural herd immunity, just meaning people get it. The only way that is possible is if a lot of people die, millions and millions and millions, and that hasn't happened.
So there's always been human intervention.
Almost all. Yeah, the best example of all is smallpox. How many of you are worried about getting smallpox today? The only reason you're not worried about it is that vaccine. That's the only reason. We achieved herd immunity with smallpox because of vaccines.
Okay, real quickly, this text. Along the same line as the Vaseline in the nose, I have wondered if nasal irrigation with saline solution would be helpful.
It's at least theoretically possible. Again, I wouldn't rely on that. I don't think it could hurt. I've been a big fan of nasal irrigation over the years. Try a neti pot. But I don't think it's not your primary source of defense against coronavirus. But it won't hurt, I don't think.
All right. We have all of our phone lines are full, and we have lots of texts. So continue to keep those calls coming in. I promise I'll get to the calls. We will try to get to the texts. 651-989-9226. Our open lines on Healthy Matters continues after the break. We are back on Healthy Matters for this first Sunday of 2021. Rashini Rajkumar with you, along with your host from Hennepin Healthcare, Dr. David Hilden. And Dr. Hilden, I have to share a little kind of love you got on Twitter this morning. I tweeted that we were coming up at 7 a.m. and then the other shows this morning. And John Reinen over at the Strib, he's one of the reporters, replied and he said, Dr. David Hilden was my primary care doc about 15 years ago before he moved on to bigger and better things than treating the assorted ailments of middle-aged men. He was so great. And I replied to him and I said, yep, he's terrific. I think he still treats those ailments.
Yeah, I still do a little bit of stuff. But, you know, John, middle age is a relative term. You know, what's...
Exactly.
It's always good to hear from some old friends and patients. And I love it that John used the term middle-aged men, because I was having that very conversation. I think I qualify in the middle-aged men. But you know what? I think I'm going to go with up to about 89 is still middle-aged. So.
Well, I like to think you've lived life. You have experiences and wisdom
exactly.
to share.
Exactly. Great yes. to hear from you, John.
All right. Phone lines are open for Dr. Hilden, 651-989-9226. Let's go to Richard in Eden Prairie.
Good morning. Thanks for taking
Good
my
morning.
Call. I plan to get a COVID vaccination as soon as it becomes available to me. As I understand it, the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines are 95% effective at preventing people from contracting COVID-19, yet that leaves 5% of the population who won't be protected. My question is, once I'm vaccinated, what type of test might be available that shows the level of antibodies in my blood so I know if I'm protected from catching the virus?
Yeah, there is a there will be a test called a titer, a T-I-T-E-R, an antibody titer, which tells the level of your antibodies. We will not be routinely offering that to people, but it's a possibility if you seek it out because, well, we can't go getting blood tests on literally the entire population. So it's not really necessary to get it unless you're just super curious to see if the vaccine worked for you. It's called an antibody titer. The 95% efficacy rate, and there is a slight nuance to that. It's the efficacy means in clinical trials, 95% of the people who got the vaccine were protected from the virus. That is different than real world effectiveness. We still don't know what's this going to be like in the real world in zillions of people in all kinds of places who lead different kinds of lives than people who enroll in clinical trials. So we're hopeful that it's going to be highly effective and it's going to last for months or years, but that we don't know. So the best we have is that so many people will get the vaccine that so many won't get sick because they got vaccine that the virus will fizzle out in society and just be a low level nuisance. That's what our hope is.
Let us hope for that. Absolutely. All right, Mary is on the line from Anoka. Good morning, Mary. Is Mary with us?
Yes.
Go right ahead.
Okay. I avoid sugar. It's not diabetes. It's fructose. My body doesn't absorb it. And so I buy a lot of sugar-free stuff, but I have noticed that it says additional alcohol sugar. Is that as deadly as sugar, and do I add them together to figure out the content?
I'm not an expert in that, but the comments about sugar are that the simple sugars, sucrose, fructose, glucose, those things that are in added sugars to food products are generally less healthy. So I would tell everybody, avoid them all if you can. They're not good for you. Carbohydrates that are complex are found in vegetables, grains, whole foods like that. The simple refined sugars, you should avoid all of them to the degree you can. Now, as for alcohol, it is also a carbohydrate. It's a sugar when it gets right down to it. I would just say you should moderate alcohol intake no matter what. That's one drink on average per day for women, maybe two for men, but on average. Don't have 14 in one day and call it good for your week. So I would just moderate your alcohol intake. I wouldn't worry about it for the sugar content as much as I would for the alcohol content. And in general, minimize your simple sugars across the board.
You know, Dr. Hilden, it's so rare I can give an assist on anything you get asked about. I have never met another person who is fructose intolerant. So, Mary, thanks for sharing that. I was diagnosed with fructose intolerance in 2009. It was game-changing for me. And what that means is my body, and it sounds like Mary's, does not have the fructase in our system to break down the fructose, which is found in most fruits, a lot of vegetables, all nuts except for pistachios. So it's not even just about those chemical sweeteners or things that are on a label. It's these whole foods, like a tomato, for example, has huge levels of fructose, doctor. Yep. It's yep. just amazing, you know, what each body can and can't take.
Yeah, and there are people that can help you test for that. You can go to an immunologist, an allergist, or somebody to help you test for that. That's a good point, Rashini.
And maybe we'll get into it a little next week when we cover colorectal disease, because it was my gastro specialist. My father died of colon cancer when I was little, and my brother and I both had several colonoscopies. And I give that doctor a lot of credit because I was really in pain for many, many years until that was diagnosed. All right, let's go back to the phone lines. Bill is on the line from St. Croix. Hi there, Bill.
Hey, yeah. See, I'm 84. I'm middle-aged at 84, and I just got done having breakfast and doing chin-ups and starting the stove. Now I'm waiting to get on the air so I can go out and feed 130 head of cattle. But what I said before was my wife takes a teaspoon of salt and boils it in a couple of cups of water and puts it in a jar. I lean back in the recliner and put that in my nostrils every once in a while. And when I get a cough, I'll put some salt in my hand and then lick it off. I've got a lot of confidence in salt.
Yeah, your body's fluids, including those in your nose, are quite salty. So nasal sprays, irrigations, the neti pot, and what you're doing, Bill, are helpful to the linings of your body, including your nose. So irrigating your nose with salt water, I'm a fan of that. I just don't want you eating too much salt. But irrigation, go for it.
All right. Eight. More calls coming in. Rose on the line from St. Cloud. Hi there, Rose.
Hi. I have two relatives, one 25 years, the other one 75 years, both healthy. Are there any contraindications to taking the vaccine if having a pacemaker?
No, there aren't. In fact, if you have a pacemaker, that means you have some type of heart irregularity, and so you ought to get the vaccine. You ought to get it as soon as you can, because I don't know what the particular heart indications are, but if you have for your pacemaker, but the very fact that you have a pacemaker puts you at somewhat higher risk, I would get the vaccine as soon as you can.
All right. Jerry is on the line. He's calling from Faribault. Good morning, Jerry.
Yes, good morning. I have a question for the doctor, and I have had post-shingles quite severely. And could I get COVID vaccination and have a severe reaction?
It's possible, but unlikely. The shingles is not related. It's entirely different. And so I wouldn't worry about it for that fact, just because you had a post-herpetic neuralgia. 10-15% of people do get problems after shingles, and they get a little bit sick after the vaccine even. This is entirely different. Is it possible to get a reaction to the COVID vaccine? The answer to that is yes. It is exceptionally unlikely, but it's not impossible. And the downsides of getting COVID-19 outweigh any risks from the vaccine by orders of magnitude. There's some new data that sometimes people who lose their sense of taste and smell, even young people, never get it back. So we always talk about the death rates from COVID. What if you could never smell again for the rest of your life? You know, we don't know if that's a big deal, but it's been found now that some people's smell isn't coming back. So the vaccine's far safer than getting the disease.
All right, Dr. Hilden, we have a couple minutes before break. I remind people of the number for both the phone and text line, 651-989-9226. I promise we will get to you if you call. We will try if you text. Here's a text, doctor. What is the best way to clean ears of wax? My ears are sensitive to pressure changes. I will be on a plane this Wednesday. Do pressure stabilizing earplugs work?
I don't know if the earplugs work so well, but people can be very uncomfortable if you can't clear your ears. So I sympathize with you. The do not put anything in your ears, however. Don't put a Q-tip in there. I've had two patients that I can immediately recall who put a Q-tip through their eardrum. So don't do that. Don't put anything smaller than your elbow in your ear. That's a little bit of wise old wisdom. Go to a clinic, go to a nurse practitioner in urgent care, and they can blast it out with warm water. Cold water hurts, but they can blast it out with warm water. You can also try the earwax softening drops that you get at the store. They are sometimes effective. And sometimes you can just put a little mineral oil in them, just a drop or two of mineral oil, and let that soften them. But just please don't put any cotton swabs in there.
All right, here's a mystery question. I have reddish-purple skin color on and near the index finger on the second joint from the fingernail. Anything I need to get checked out?
Yeah, I'm not going to be able to know what that is without seeing it, but yeah, if you have a discoloration of your finger, it could be infected, it could have blood vessels have broken, it could have some inflammation. I would have your primary provider see that.
Yeah, I think we know when Dr. Hilden says, yeah, go get it checked out.
Go get that checked out. Doesn't sound right.
Yeah. We're going to take a break, then our final segment. So get your calls in, 651-989-9226 on Healthy Matters. We are back on Healthy Matters on this first Sunday of 2021, and it is the first Sunday of year 13 of Healthy Matters presented by Hennepin Healthcare. Dr. Hilden, you've been bringing good answers to folks for a long time now.
Yeah, thanks, Rashini. This is our 13th year. Thank you, all of you listeners. You're keeping me on my toes this morning, on a bright and early on a Sunday morning. Thank goodness I have a cup of coffee in me, and we're ready to go.
All right, so our line for final calls for today's show, 651-989-9226. Dave is on the line from Hopkins. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning. Quick question. I've heard there's some theoretical reasons to have the vaccine after the first vaccine administration, have it in the other arm for the second vaccine administration. What is your thought about that?
I don't think that is needed. It spreads throughout your body within hours or days. And so there's the capillaries in your right arm are not much different than your left arm. The only thing I would suggest, though, about which arm you get it in is if you are, say, a breast cancer survivor or somebody who has lymphedema in your arm or somebody who's got a problem with one of your arms, use the other arm. But as for the two doses, I think it doesn't make any difference. At least I haven't heard of any difference.
And one of the texters asked about Crohn's disease and the vaccine connected with it.
There's no data on that. Crohn's disease is a relatively, I don't want to say common, but we see a lot of it. Actually, it is relatively common. An inflammatory bowel disease, it's one of the two, the other being ulcerative colitis. It is an autoimmune situation, and autoimmune diseases are like our doctor way of saying we're not exactly sure. Your own body is attacking itself for some reason. I have not heard of any contraindications of people with Crohn's disease in the vaccine. And frankly, if I had Crohn's disease, I would not want COVID. COVID is a massive inflammatory problem. So is Crohn's disease. You don't want both of them. So I would get the vaccine, but we don't have a lot of data on that.
Okay. Let's go to Larry, who's calling in from Stillwater. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. My wife has a severe allergy to all tree and root nuts. Should she get the COVID vaccine? She also gets the flu shot with no problem.
Yes, without a doubt. There's really very few people with allergies that need to not get the vaccine. Even people who have had anaphylaxis. You know, if that is the most serious reaction, if you have had that, get your vaccine at a place that can handle it. In other words, a clinic or a doctor's office as opposed to a pharmacy. But if you're somebody who has nut allergies, food allergies, bee sting allergies, and you carry your EpiPen around, there's been no evidence that that this vaccine's problematic.
To the text lines, because we have a lot of texts coming in, Dr. Hilden, again, 651-989-9226. This person says, Doctor, the Moderna vaccine has not been approved by the FDA. Is it still safe?
It has been approved on an EUA, which is an emergency use authorization. The Moderna is just like the Pfizer. They're identical in that regard. They've both been approved by the FDA under an emergency use authorization. Neither of them are permanently forevermore approved, but they are both, the Moderna's approved just as much as the Pfizer one.
Okay, this person says, hubby and I mall walk at Maplewood, the walking hour before the mall opens, 3 days a week. Everyone wears a mask, mostly seniors. How safe is this?
It's safer than it could be, as long as everyone's wearing a mask and you're nowhere near other people. So don't be right behind anybody. Don't do it in groups. It is less safe because, A, it's indoors, and, B, there's a possibility for groups to be together. But if you can stay far apart and definitely wear a mask, you're doing your best to keep it safe.
Okay, we do believe we got Jane back. Jane from Coon Rapids. Hello, Jane. What's your question?
Oh, good morning. This is a question I've had. I was a nurse since 1970, and I've mainly pediatric. And way back when, in 1970, there were very few ultrasounds done on women who are pregnant. I know this is way off the question, but I would like to know if there's ever been a study done correlating the increase in autism with the increase in ultrasounds done on women who are pregnant. It seems to me that there's a correlation between the increase in autism in children and the increase in ultrasounds done on pregnant women, correlating the two.
Thanks for your question. It's always good to talk to a nurse. I am not aware of any such study. I've never heard of that connection, and I would be extremely dubious about that. I doubt it. There's a ton of things that have changed in our lives since 1970. Diets have changed. Pollution has changed. Lifestyles have changed. And medical care has changed as well. Ultrasounds use sound waves that have never been shown to be harmful. They don't use radiation. They don't use chemicals. They simply use sound waves. It's not nothing different. And so I've never heard of that connection with autism. I will always say a caveat, that's not my area of specialty. So don't, I never want to sound like I know everything, and I'm not an expert in that, but I've never heard that, Jane. It's an interesting point.
All right, we're really running out of time. Bevan Burnsville, if you can keep your question to about 8 seconds, he can answer it. Really quick, please.
Wondering if a reaction to the shingles vaccine involving serious shaking, not just chilling, is a deterrent to this one.
It's not for the COVID. You can still go ahead and get the COVID vaccine. They're very different. People do get lots of reactions to the shingles vaccine. So that is common in that. I would not have that be a problem at all, getting the COVID vaccine.
And thanks, Bev, who kept it to about 4 seconds. Really quickly, let's get a couple texts in, Doc. Can my first vaccine be Moderna, my second Pfizer?
No. Get the same one. Now, in Great Britain, they're trying a little experiment with no scientific data to back it and getting the different ones. Don't do that. Stick with the same vaccine on the two shots.
All right. Someone's asking both of us about the fructose intolerance. It was just called that. That's what it was diagnosed at. All right. We are severely running out of time, Dr. Hilden, but how can people reach you before next week?
Go to Twitter if you're so inclined, and check me out at Dr. David Hilden. Follow me on Twitter. Send me a tweet. I'll try to get back to you. Dr. David Hilden. Also, you can go to the blog site at myhealthymatters.org. Myhealthymatters.org.
The first Sunday in 2021 is in the books, and the beginning of Dr. Hilden's 13th year of Healthy Matters. We'll catch you next week right here, same time, same channel, for Healthy Matters.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. MasterClass.com/audio.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.